Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
3 o'clock hour on the Hockey Crowder simulcast. Alex Dono in for Mark Hochman today. Crowder is here. Man, getting a ton of reaction on Crowder. That was like a loaded end of the 2 o'clock hour between Crowder's 36 credits at Florida, where, you know, for a typical college student to get a four-year degree has to complete 120 credits. Crowder was at Florida for 2 years, and he finished 36 credits. Like, that math doesn't exactly add up. Crowder, I even got a text from Omar Kelly, who says, "Tell Crowder I said he's an idiot." 36 damn credits?
Listen... Do y'all remember? This was, okay, let me explain this. Omar, I hope you're listening still, big homie. This was post Rex Grossman, Javon Kurz, Richie Caldwell, Jaquez Green, Freddie T. This was when Florida, you go to Florida to go to the NFL. So after my freshman year, and I don't like to brag, but let me explain. I was all SEC. I was an All-American. I was freshman defensive player of the year. Everybody knew what my path was going to be in life. So if you're at a school that understands that guys leave early and go to the NFL, this is when you can leave as a sophomore and you had to wait 3 years. You had to wait 2 years and 1 day. Myself, remember Pac-Man Jones, Maurice Claret, we took advantage of the 2 years and 1 day rule, not the 3 years and 1 day rule, and we left as a sophomore. But when you know you're going to the NFL, why do I need to take biology again? Like, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I was in animal science. I took the first chemistry. I had like a series of chemistries to take. And then I became an All-American and said, you know what? There's no reason to take another chemistry. I know my life path is going to be something different. Like I said, though, Dono and Omar, listen to me, homie. As a 36-year-old man, I regret my decision as a 19-year-old, but I would say a lot of y'all at 36 will regret your 19-year-old decision. So, yes, that's the path I took, and I have 36 credits still. And that's one of the reasons I never went back, because I'm like, damn, I got too much work to do.
You have like 75% of your work still to do.
I'm in my office now. My wife has 3 degrees. She has her degrees on the wall. The kids ask me about it. I have to BS my 6- and 7-year-old, like, yeah, no, daddy's in the back. I just.
Dolly.
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 God bless Dolly.
Oh, man.
But I'll say this. Don't judge me, Omar, until you're in the same situation that I was in at 19, 20 years old. Don't judge me.
I mean, Crowder, decisions I made at 19, I was regretting by 20. And, okay, I was not an athlete, right? Obviously. And so, but when I got to Miami, Crowder, this was like a year after the movie Van Wilder came out. I wanted to be Van Wilder. Like, I got to UM, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm in college. There's parties. You know, there's girls walking. Not that I was having a whole lot of luck in that department anyway. But I decided when I got there, why am I going to have a heavy course load? I'm going to slow it down, right? Where most people take 15 credits a semester, some people even 18. I was taking 12 credits a semester for my first like 3 semesters because I thought, if I have to stay here 5 years, that's fantastic. I'd love to stay here an extra year. But then at some point, like midway through my sophomore year, like I was like a year and a half in, I decided, like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm broke. Like, eventually I'm going to want to get a job. And so after 3 semesters of taking 12 credits, I realized, like, I need to step it up. And so I was taking extra classes. Like, I'm doing, like, Christmas break intercession classes. I was doing summer classes because I needed to make up for lost time because I wanted to get the hell out of there after 4 years.
See, we went opposite ways. I was going to get my degree and be a vet and grind. And then I said, you know what? The hell with that. I'm going to go play football. I'm going to chill and be Van Wilder. And then a year later, you said, the hell with that. I'm going to get my damn degree and get out of here. See, this is the beauty. I just love the beauty of the interactions, because the life lessons, the situations we've both been in, Dono, that's what we can enlighten people with.
That's true. All right, it's time for some headlines from Alejandro Solana.
Heat OKC tonight. That's at 8 p.m., guys.
Love it.
Terrible big matchup. Game.
Why?
For us, yeah.
Because they have Paul George, who's a penetrating point guard, and we struggle with them.
They have Paul George?
Not with Chris Paul, sorry, the little boy, the little tiny one. They have Chris Paul, and they got that big-ass center, man. We can't rebound, and we can't stop a penetrating point guard. Terrible matchup.
What do you think, Solana? Terrible matchup? Because I think the Heat are going to come out on top. Terrible matchup for OKC.
I don't know if the Heat are going to come out on top, because this game means a lot more to OKC than it does to Miami, who are basically in the four – not basically, they are in the 4-5 spot no matter what happens tonight. And OKC still fighting for seeding in the Western Conference playoff race. So I think this game means a lot more to OKC. They might play a lot harder than the Heat. But I don't know if this is a terrible matchup for the Heat. Steven Adams has given Miami – some problems in the past, but he gives most teams problems. But we have Bam Adebayo. I'm confident down low when you have a guy like Bam. Crowder.
No. Solana, I love Bam. You see, Donald, I'll let you know what's going on, Donald. Solana likes to paint me in these corners because he knows basketball and tries to act like that I'm just saying crazy stuff. Bro, Bam is not a legit center. Steven Adams is a legit center. We got out-rebounded by the Suns. By 16, 15-something rebounds, man, 9 on the offensive side. We don't have a big boy. Myers Leonard's not playing. He's big, but he doesn't really play big. When you have a legit center and a penetrating point guard, I think that's the Heat's Achilles heel. We talked to people that said it. I've gained this from knowledge. Penetrating point guards, big boys, that's our trouble, Doc. I mean, that's our trouble, Solana.
Just throw to Duncan Robinson, let him hit some threes, and boom. we got this
He's
game
gonna
wrapped
hit like
up.
15 of them.
What
tonight,
about Tyler Hero, man? Can he have one good game? I need him to come.
Whoa,
out,
hold on. He's arguably, other than Duncan Robinson, he's been having the best bubble experience for the Miami Heat. I think I read this. If I read this right yesterday, he's averaging.
What about Bam, man?
Yeah, Bam has been awesome. Well, but Tyler's been up there too.
Bam has been awesome, but the thing with Bam, don't forget, and we talked about it the other day, is that he entered the bubble a little later, so it's taken him a little while to get really into game shape. I'm telling you, Tyler Hero, he's been averaging above 20 points in all these bubble games. Tyler's been playing really well in the bubble.
Well, let's see. I'm excited about tonight.
The Marlins, they lost 5-4 yesterday to the Blue Jays in extra innings. Game 2 today versus the Blue Jays in Buffalo, guys. 6:37 p.m., our boy Jordan Yamamoto gets the nod.
Love it. Yamamoto. I'm going to watch Marlins baseball tonight. 6:37, you said?
Yep. Right? Isn't that a weird start time, Dono?
Oh,
6:37 p.m.?
Jesus Christ.
It's very precise.
Yes.
Like, you would think, like, 6:35, 6:30, 6:40. But,
right.
You know, I appreciate the precision.
I mean, I've been pointing out these weird start times for Major League Baseball recently, for the Marlins specifically, and Hawk and Crowder seem to think I'm weird. For
recently. Dono, he's been talking 2 years almost. Man, why is it 7:06? Why is it 8:34? I just, man, they're going to play, man. Leave them boys alone.
Well, I think what makes it weird is that they actually publicize it. Like I work on the NHL broadcast for the Panthers, and, you know, when they play a 7 o'clock game, it actually faces off at 7:08. But, like, they don't announce it as 7:08. They just announce it at 7 o'clock, and it starts when it starts. But baseball goes out of their way to tell you, 6:37 tonight, we're getting it started.
Do that for Solana.
They do, because he loves it.
The Big 12, they announced that the conference has agreed to proceed with plans for fall sports, and players in, quote, high contact sports like football, volleyball, and soccer, they'll get 3 COVID-19 tests per week. UM president Dr.
Is volleyball a high contact sport?
You when he said that the first time, Solana, I wanted to say something. Donald, thank you for saying it. That volleyball players don't touch each other, right. Man.
You're not allowed to touch each other.
They don't touch anybody.
Well, luckily, you have your resident volleyball expert, three-time All-Dade, over at Archbishop Carroll in the volleyball team. And I can tell you that while you may not touch people during the play, there's still five members of the team on the court, and after every play, everybody kind of joins up right in the middle. And, you know, you give each other high fives. You
well, pump, don't do that.
Pump each other up. And you're all sharing the same ball, right? Like there's one ball that's being passed around. You're in a gym, closed gym, 10 people on a court all at the same time. There might be six. What? I don't remember.
Solana, name me a sport that you don't share the ball.
Swimming.
You share the water, though. He had that answer quick.
Yeah. He was loaded with that answer. I appreciate your preparation, but man, come on, bro. Volleyball
hockey?
Is not
hockey because you got a puck, not a ball.
There you go.
UM President Dr. Julio Frank, he told CNBC today that UM has had zero positive tests in their last two rounds of testing student athletes.
I mean, I'm happy about that, but I just hope it continues once, like, other students come on campus, because the general student population is returning, I think, over the next few days, and, you know, the general population are not getting tested every 3 days like the players, so I'll keep my fingers crossed, man, because I hope people who have been listening to the first hour and 12 minutes, like, don't think that I'm rooting for this not to happen, because I am. Like, I would love to have ACC football, because I don't want to, like, potentially lose, you know, what we would see in a season out of De'Eric King. Like, I want Miami to have a chance to play. I do. I'm just I'm a little bit pessimistic about this whole thing.
And Dono, we were hitting on this yesterday, where you can be excited about it, but you have to be logical about what to do. And that's where I am as a coach. And you know, I coach high school, where somebody threw the question back on me. And what was I at? I think Walmart. And the dude was like, would you put your players out there right now? And it kind of made me stick where, no, because I feel bad if somebody contracts COVID. So, no, I wouldn't put my players out there right now. So, we can be sports fans, but we can also be logical about the risk that these young men are taking on. I have no problem, Donald, and I have no problem with the pros. NBA, WNBA, MLS, all the M's and the B's and the L's. No problem with them playing. I have a problem with the kids playing. These kids are not compensated, and they're children. 18 to 22 is still children to me, Dono.
Well, and if you want to play devil's advocate, like even if I were to tell you, like, hey, I think that the risk for 19, 20-year-olds is being way overblown, then you can still say there's going to be a lot of public pressure, right? Like the fact that two major conferences have already canceled fall sports, there are liability issues here, potential lawsuits. And so it may be difficult for the remaining three conferences to really go through with it, because a lot of people will ask the question, well, how come the Pac-12 and the Big Ten decided to err on the side of caution and protect their amateur athletes and you didn't? And they may not want to face those questions.
Oh, Dono, you hit it on the head. Knock on wood, hope it doesn't happen. Hypothetical, one SEC or ACC player dies, or somebody gets myocarditis, which is the swelling of the heart, and that's lifelong. Myocarditis is not a two-week thing. It's lifelong. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten, I don't know if they'll do it, Dono, but they can almost be like, I told y'all so. Just one kid, Dono, one kid passes, one kid has a problem, one kid gets myocarditis. I told y'all this wasn't safe. They will have an out to say, I told you so. That's why we decided not to play. It's gonna get a little sketchy here coming up.
Anything else, Solana?
Let's get to weather right now in South Florida. 88 degrees, guys. Mostly cloudy in Miami. Humidity is at 71%. Don't expect any precipitation for the next 120 minutes. However, we do have a probability of precipitation at 52%. Let's send it back over to you guys.
Struggle with that a little bit.
What did you just say?
The true meteorologists out there, they'll understand what I'm talking about.
Julie Durda, if you're listening, yeah, I'm sure she loved that. All right,
that's all from the weatherplex. Jimmy, back to you guys.
Jimmy the Donk, our homeboy on Twitter, just photoshopped me with the Wilt Chamberlain face and 36 on the paper for 36 credits. Come on, man. Y'all can't. I just explained why I made the decision. Y'all don't start making fun of me. It was a wrong decision. Come on, man.
I had that in three semesters.
Donald, can I get a mulligan? Let me get a mulligan.
There are no mulligans on the show. Dan Feldman from NBC Sports is going to join us to talk some NBA next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
What are you going to do? We're going to go to war. Hang up your phone.
Hawk and Crowder.
Back here on the Hawk and Crowder Show, Alex Dono in for Hawk today. Crowder is here. Solana is here. I think Solana is getting Dan Feldman on from NBC Sports. He's going to join us in a few minutes to talk some NBA. I mean, Crowder, you know, the Heat are locked into a 4 or a 5, and it's going to be the Pacers in that first round. That's going to be a fun series. I mean, you saw what the Heat did to the Pacers last time around. I love the little matchup and the feud between Jimmy Butler and DJ Warren. I'm totally down. I'm totally down with that series.
Donald, let me ask you this, because I know you're a fan of all Miami sports. Did me and Tom Brady have a duel?
Yeah, you intercepted the man. Yeah, but I had a duel.
I intercepted him once, and then he became a Hall of Famer and won 6 Super Bowls. In this situation, and you know, I'll be honest about myself. I'll self-deprecate. I think they call it. I'm T.J. Warren, and Tom Brady's Jimmy Butler, man.
Oh no, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. But listen, but T.J. Warren, to his credit, has been good since the restart. But he's no Jimmy Butler. Like no, I'm totally with you on that.
And he needed a fanless gym to ball out and drop 50. He hasn't dropped 50 the whole time there were fans there. Man, TJ bit off more than he can chew. And I don't think the Jimmy Butler, TJ Warren thing means anything, because TJ figured out what's going on. I don't need to poke that bear. I'll go poke the porcupine or something. Leave that bear alone.
I love the fact that Jimmy hates him, though. Like it's gonna just in that in itself, like Jimmy's gonna take a lot of pride shutting him down. I know that.
Yes, yes.
Oh man. So if you want to get through via the text line 786-360-0790. So Dan Feldman from NBC Sports is with us now. I mean, Dan, I guess let's start here, because Crowder and I were just talking a little bit about a Heat Pacers series. We saw these teams meet a couple nights ago. You know, Heat versus Pacers 4-5 if it comes out that way. How do you expect that series to go? Who would you like there?
I like the Heat. I think they're a better team. Victor Oladipo is still finding his way back for the Pacers. He's not at full strength. Maybe it'd be different. You know, the Pacers also without Domantas Sabonis, just not quite the same team that they were through some of the regular season at their best moments. The Heat are pretty close to that, maybe not perfect, but near a similar level. And I think just have better talent overall, more ready to win the playoffs this year. But it's a series I'd really be looking forward to because of that Jimmy Butler, TJ Warren matchup. Like, I love Jimmy Butler's competitiveness, and TJ Warren definitely brings out the best of it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Crowder and I were just bickering a little bit because I called it a feud, and like, he didn't even want me to like dignify, you know, putting TJ Warren in the same breath as Jimmy Butler. It's no question I think Jimmy Butler is a better player, but Warren has been really good since the restart, and I love the fact that these guys seem to hate each other. So, I mean, Dan, the individual matchup there between the two of them is something I'm really looking forward to.
Hey, Jimmy Butler dignifies it as a feud, yep. Right? He's into it. He cares. Like, that's enough. Yeah, Jimmy Butler's a way better player, although TJ Warren has been playing out of his mind. I think we're probably overreacting to it. It's a small sample. It's just, what, about 7 games? Now, he has been awesome. This is a higher level than he's ever been, but still just 7 games. Jimmy Butler has proven throughout his career how much better he is, but he's better in part because he gets into stuff like this. He cares about feuds like this. It drives him to be better. You could see that in the one matchup already, and I hope there are more.
And Dan, speaking of Jimmy, man, and this is one thing. So our producer, Alejandro Solana, he said you got to ask him, because this is something I question with Jimmy. What we saw Dame do, what Dame said, put some respect on my name. We saw Dame ball out. We saw what Kawhi does. Dan, we saw Bron, you know, James Harden. Is Jimmy built like that? Because a couple games ago, it was 10 seconds left on the clock. He got the ball, and he tried to do a BS bounce pass to Goran Dragic driving through the lane and didn't take the shot. Like, is Jimmy on that level? We love Jimmy, Dan, but is Jimmy on the level of closer, down by one, give Jimmy Butler the ball? Is Jimmy there?
So So the names you put him on that level with, that's not really fair, right? Those are the highest of the stars, right? LeBron, James Harden, guys like that. No, he's not on that level. He's particularly not on that level as a scorer. He's got an awesome all-around game. He plays defense. He can pass a little. He helps on the glass. Like, he can score some, but that's just a part of his game, and he's not the biggest of the biggest stars. That said, I do think in those moments, he does have some ability to go get that last shot. He can handle the ball. He can pull up. He can go get a bucket at times. That's just not his strength. I'm totally cool with him passing in some of those situations. He's not the type of player where, if you remember LeBron early in his career, there was so much discussion of, you know, is he clutch? Does he have it? And he would pass to an open teammate, not really realizing that even a shot through a double team by LeBron is sometimes in those moments better than an open shot from a teammate. LeBron figured that out. I don't think the calculus is the same for Jimmy Butler. I think he's somebody who needs to make the right play, who's not so good in those moments, not such a good scorer that he has to take a shot, but he absolutely can take the shot some of those times.
And Dan, the Heat, big picture, can they really compete? Two concerns I have for them is rebounding. After that Suns game, they got embarrassed on the glass with DeAndre Ayton, and then their turnovers, and also just stopping big time point guards. Like, I've seen some issues with the restart. Are the Heat a competitor in the East?
So, you know, if they get past the Pacers, and I'm predicting that they would, the Bucks waiting right there. First thing, the Bucks are better than the Heat. Just point blank, they are better. But I think the Heat match up in an interesting way that gives them a chance. One, they have Bam Adebayo, the type of player, if anybody, who can defend Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, we saw in that Heat-Bucks game when Giannis turns it on, he is very, very hard to stop. But Bam Adebayo has a better chance than most. The Heat are also a good three-point shooting team. That's what the Bucks give up on defense. The Bucks have said, we're going to take away everything at the rim. But as a result, sometimes we're going to allow some open three-pointers. The Heat get hot from beyond the arc, they've got a chance. I think they have a punter's chance to come out of the East, but they're not the best team. They're probably not the second best team, probably not the third best. I've got the Celtics and Raptors ahead of them too, but they're close enough. They are close enough. They have the talent. They have the coaching. They have the right mix of veterans, the competitiveness. The ability to play different styles is so huge throughout the playoffs. As you get into different rounds, you need to be able to adapt. I think the Heat can do that. They have a chance.
We're joined by Dan Feldman from NBC Sports Pro Basketball Talk. Yeah, Dan, I think it's cool that they're going to be announcing things at the end of this, like just for the bubble, like awards, like MVP of the bubble. They're going to have like a all bubble first team. I mean, in your mind, who so far has been the best player in the bubble and the best team in the bubble?
Well, the best player, I think, has been James Harden, kind of quietly. Like, he has been awesome. He came in shape, ready to go, had clearly been training hard throughout the hiatus. He has been very, very good, although Dame Lillard is making his case very strong late.
Yeah.
Like, he's had more ups and downs, but his highs have been higher than anybody. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that bubble MVP, just because people tend to remember the highs more than the lows, as opposed to an even performance by Harden. The best team has been the Suns, and I can't believe it. It's incredible that they were even included. It seemed kind of silly. They have been awesome. They've definitely benefited from some luck. Opponents have just missed a lot of open threes against them. That's helped in a make-or-miss league. But they played so well. They're playing with confidence. Devin Booker stepping up. A lot of their other young players are stepping up. It's been a blast to watch them, too.
Any juicy bubble gossip? Like, one of the things I've always wondered is, with all these players together in a lot of the same hotels, any reports of, like, alliances forming, players talking about building super teams, anything juicy like that going on?
Well, we saw it spill over with Damian Lillard and Paul George, and those are two guys with very different sensibilities of how they want to build, how they want to have their careers go. Damian Lillard, very loyal to his original franchise, the Trailblazers. Paul George, hey, get me out of Indiana. Get me out of Oklahoma City. Get me on the super team with Kawhi Leonard in L.A. Just different ways of going about it. And they clash head-to-head in the playoffs. Last year, they clash in the bubble. This year, Damian Lillard missing a couple free throws. Paul George maybe liking that a little too much for Damian Lillard's liking. And then some of their family members online going back and forth to the point where they had to clear the air about it. You know, it's these little things where if they're not in those tight confines, maybe that goes away quicker, or maybe in this case it made it so it went away quicker, so they had a chance to clear the air. It's tough to say which way it would have gone otherwise, but it is just this interesting dynamic when all these players are so close together all the time. There's no escape.
And Dan, speaking about the bubble, the NBA's talking about letting family in for lists, and you have to prove that they're about, you know, that's talking about IG models, Dan. I'll tell you that. They don't want the ladies running around the hotel with the skirts on. We do that. But what, Dan, why open up the bubble? The bubble's working. They're putting out reports that there's no COVID test. So why open up the bubble?
It's a nerve-wracking thing to do it because it does make it a lot harder. Now, you're going to only open it up after a bunch of teams are eliminated. You're going to lose six teams before the playoffs, another eight after the first round. That's when the bubble will open up. It's a long time for players to be away from their families. That's why, because it would have been hard to get players to agree to come in the first place unless you promise to do something like this. And, you know, I have some degree of faith that the NBA can make it safe. They've made everything so far safe. You know, maybe they can keep it going, but it is a new challenge. All the reasons it's been safe so far gets complicated again as more people arrive.
And then the chances the IG model gets in. Is anybody good enough?
See, that's the right question. That's the right question. It's not about safety. It's who's going to tell? I'm not even going to say a name. It wouldn't be fair to any player, but just imagine whatever superstar you want to imagine. Who's going to tell him no? That, hey, this person you put on your list, I can't imagine being the NBA person who has to go through the list. Player says, all right, here are the four people I want to bring, and you've got to check, well, how well do you know this person? How do you know them? Who are they to you? What counts? What doesn't? Like, who wants to get in somebody's business like that? Or on the other hand, if you're the type of person who wants to get in somebody's business like that, maybe that's a dream job.
Yeah. You know, as we're joined here by Dan Feldman from NBC Sports Pro Basketball Talk, these bubbles around sports, by and large, have worked. Like, I haven't heard of any issues or serious issues in the NHL bubble. The MLS just finished their bubble. You know, they had to kick a couple teams out of that bubble early, but that wasn't from any infections they got in the bubble. That was before they got to the bubble, and the NBA's having success. What was your expectation heading in? Has the success of this bubble met or even exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, it's mostly met mine. I was skeptical at first, but then when you read up on how it's supposed to operate, it makes a lot of sense. I've seen so many people, though, get wrong why it's working. It's not because the NBA players are wearing masks or something like that. It's because they are tested daily, and anybody who's not tested daily, who's not clearly clear of coronavirus, isn't allowed to be around them. So it's not really something that we can extend to greater society. Like, I don't know how to say, hey, anybody who hasn't had a corona test in the last 24 hours, you know, we're going to lock you in your house or it's going to be illegal for you to go out. Like, that's impossible. It works on a small scale for a professional league. It's working great. It's allowing the NBA to make a lot of money. That's the whole point. It's not something for the rest of us.
And Dan, I was watching a Hard Knocks last night, and Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, said, we're fighting the other 31 teams in the NFL, and we're also fighting COVID. And it made me think, is this championship with the NBA, is this 2020 season, is it almost more impressive? Is the 2020 NBA champion more impressive than other years that were normalized or normal, not normalized, normal? Is this an impressive year? Are you going to look at this team differently and say it's not asterisk, it's better than the 2019-2018 seasons?
The reverse asterisk. The problem with that is when I say a team won an NBA championship, you have a rough idea what that means. If I say, hey, whatever team won the championship in 2002, you're like, okay, cool, you won an NBA championship. That's a great accomplishment. Well, what if it turns out the way to win an NBA championship is, hey, you just got lucky that not too many players on your team suffered from some coronavirus outbreak in the bubble. Like, that might be nice, but it's not necessarily the accomplishment we look at for winning an NBA championship. Now, everything so far has been very normal. The good teams have looked good. The play has been good. Everybody stayed healthy. When it's normal, it's a normal championship, and that's great. If something happens to make this season abnormal, sure, it would be an accomplishment to win this championship. If you are the team that is most diligent about avoiding coronavirus, all your players wear their masks within the bubble as that extra layer of protection all the time. They stay in their hotel rooms. Good for you. You would earn it, but that's not what we would look at as a typical NBA championship. It's not typically what we would think of. I don't know if that's what we want to award the team that's best at avoiding coronavirus. It's a great thing. It's a great thing for health. It's not necessarily what we look at in an NBA champion.
Well, really good stuff here from Dan Feldman. You can check out his work at probasketballtalk.com, NBC Sports Pro Basketball Talk. Dan, thank you so much, my friend, and enjoy the rest of the games.
Thanks for having me. You too.
Good stuff there from Dan Feldman. And speaking of bubbles, I mean, Crowder, in about 45 minutes, we're going to talk with Stefano Fusaro from ESPN, who just spent 45 days in the MLS bubble. But like 45 days is pretty minuscule compared to how long this NBA bubble is. So I think Dan raised a good point that, yeah, it's been working the way that it is right now, where it's very strict, no family and friends. But I guess the NBA like had to promise these players, like, at some point we're going to let you see your loved ones, and that's why they're letting people in.
Yeah, and you guys are awarded for being the cleanest people.
Yep.
Hell, I would fail, man, because, you know, I don't bathe consistent. I bathe twice a week, Dono. So,
dude,
yeah,
I've gotten so bad at, like, Crowder, since I've been working from home 90% of the time for the last 4 months, I've gotten really bad at bathing regularly. Like, I've gotten really bad at it. Like, maybe, like, 3 times a week is my benchmark these days.
What about deodorant? What about the teeth brushing? Do you still wake up? I know you have a kid. Do you do it twice a day? Teeth brushing, bro. All hygiene is ruined. Yeah. Corona ruined hygiene in America.
Corona has ruined deodorant sales. Like I'm still pretty good with brushing my teeth because like I'm really paranoid about having cavities and stuff because I've had those before. But like deodorant, like I feel so bad for my wife, and I don't think my kid cares. He's 2.5. He doesn't care if I smell. But I only put on deodorant if I know I'm going to leave the house that day, like if I'm going to go somewhere. Other than that, nope.
And Donald, don't put deodorant on because that covers up your pheromones, man.
Yeah,
women,
right.
you got your wife at home. You got to let your natural smell, your natural male testosterone pheromones show out, man.
That's why I got to get that vasectomy because we're in trouble if I keep these pheromones going.
Oh, because she's going to dive on you. You're going to have to kick her off or you had to take a segment off.
She usually dives away from me, but that's a whole other issue.
Damn, you and Hawk got a very peculiar sex life, man. I think I'm normal, man. We just enjoy each other.
I mean, for me to get anything, you know, anything special, there's like a negotiation that has to happen like throughout the day. Like, and sometimes the terms will change because she'll say like just to make me happy, like tonight's not going to happen, but let's lock in tomorrow night. Like, well, she sometimes puts it off for a day.
Oh no, Donald, this is what you got to do, man, and don't tell her it's coming either, because that's a mistake. Whenever she's in the bed, you crawl up the bed shirtless and you roll your shoulders as you're crawling like a lion when they're stalking their prey. Bro, it gets women going, bro. I'm telling you, man, you laughing. I'm telling you. Roll your shoulders like a stalking lion. She'll eat it up.
I'm going to try it tonight, and I'll give you a full progress report. How about that? Just between you and me. Although I'll probably put it on the group chat that we have with like 5 people in there.
Oh man.
We'll wrap up the 3 o'clock hour next here on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're able in that Supermax to give him $50+ million more than he could get anywhere else for 5 years. And the agreement is you're going to a $50 bill on the
that's mine
on the floor.
That's mine. Don't even think about sliding your little foot over.
Hawk and Crowder. It's up
to you. Thanks again to Dan Feldman from NBC Sports for joining us. Got a handful of celebrity birthdays today. August 12th, Chris Middleton is 29. Super Mario Balotelli is 30. Tyson Fury, 32. Chris Chambers, 42. That's your guy, right, Crowder?
That's my dude. That's he's the offensive coordinator at U School, and I'm the defensive coordinator.
That's right. I forgot he was at U School with you. Do you, when a friend of yours has a birthday, do you call him? Do you text him? What do you do?
No. I'm a man, and I don't say anything to you because birthdays are irrelevant, and it's your 42nd year on this earth, Chris. Actually, to be funny, I'll tell you the truth. We have a coaching thread at U School, and coaches, a bunch of our coaches listen, and they're going to laugh. But all day today, people been saying, hey, HBD, CC, because Chris Chambers, they call him CC.
That's what you do. You wish him a happy birthday. Bro, that's what you do.
I don't wish anyone happy birthdays because as a grown-up, I don't think they're relevant. It's a waste of time to waste money and to waste anything you do on your 42nd birthday. You're a grown-ass man. It's another day of the year.
Okay, I can understand the not wasting money part. Like, you're not going to throw him a surprise party with a pinata or something. But it doesn't cost you anything to send him a happy birthday text.
But I don't care it's his birthday, and I hope he doesn't care it's his birthday. You're 40-something. Like, Donald, to be honest, like, but then even that, like, my wife knows. Don't buy me anything on my birthday.
Really?
Like,
you don't want anything?
No, because it's a nebulous day.
Wow.
My parents had sex 9 months before I was born. That's the only benchmark. What other benchmark is there of what happened on your birthday? Only thing that happened on your birthday, your parents had sex 9 months before that day. Period. End of story. You didn't do anything. You weren't successful. You didn't reach and pull yourself out. You didn't help the process. You just laid there like a big ass piece of bag of mashed potatoes fell out. Like, I don't do birthdays, Donald. I don't do birthdays.
I can tell. Jesus. I feel like Solana, you're probably the type that takes the birthday very seriously. Do you agree with Crowder?
No, I mean, I don't think I take it too seriously, but if it's my birthday, you know, I expect a little birthday text from the people I'm close to. Nothing serious. You don't have to send me anything. I don't like presents either. But on the day you were born, you like to feel a little special. There's nothing wrong with that, Crowder.
Yeah, I felt special on draft day and on the day I got checks.
All right.
Well, did you feel special on draft day? Because you fell a little bit farther than you thought you would.
No, you're right. I did. I felt special for being in the league, but I was upset.
Wow. Okay, yeah, Donald.
No, I'm just saying. Damn. Like, he's told the story about how, your agent told you you'd be, or your Mel Kiper said you'd be a first rounder, and
top
you were disappointed
20.
You weren't a first rounder.
But then if you want, like, happiness of knowing you accomplished something, I guess is a I've had this point for a while, and Solana's heard my point on this, so let me rephrase this question, because I don't like to go on a rant. Why do you celebrate birthdays? Let me just reset and ask you this question. I want both of you to answer. Why celebrate a birthday? You celebrate graduations. You celebrate marriages. You celebrate things that you're a part of. Why celebrate a birthday? You had nothing to do with it.
Because it's literally the day that your life began. Like, you arrived on planet Earth on that day. And you didn't personally,
nope.
accomplish anything. You were just born. But I see nothing wrong with at least acknowledging, if not celebrating, the day that your life began. You're going to die on this hill, Crowder.
I'm going to die right on this hill, because I relate birthdays with National Nacho Day and National Wi-Fi Day and National Stapler Day. It's where people want something to celebrate, so they can't even just celebrate their life and their people around them. So they want to lean on a birthday, lean on a day to be able to throw a party and buy a damn cake. How about you celebrate life every day? That's what I do, Dono. I celebrate life on a daily basis.
Solana, you answer the question. Why should a birthday be acknowledged?
No, I mean, Crowder's just so woke. He's just so woke. He can't even celebrate a birthday.
You're just so woke,
Crowder.
I tape my eyebrows open sometimes just not to close my eyes. I'm so damn woke.
It's ridiculous. I was born on a day, and every day, you're right, should be celebrated like it's your last. We should, the very cliche phrase, treat every day like it's your last. And I'm with you, but on the day that you were born, there's nothing wrong with feeling appreciated that you've been blessed to live another day, another year on this earth. And you're just hating on birthdays. I don't know why.
Because it's not... There's nothing you did for your birthday to be celebrated.
I'll send Chris
Chambers.
There
was no goal.
I'll send
Chris
Chambers.
There was no goal. But just think about it, son. On your birthday, you had no goal that was reached that at all. And most of us, let's be honest, guys, and I'll say it. It is on me. We were all mistakes. My mom had an IUD in. If you don't know what an IUD is, look it up. My mom had an IUD in when I was conceived.
So even more reason to celebrate, because you probably shouldn't even be here.
Because I was an accident, where a lot of us are accidents. Why celebrate accidents? Who celebrates the last time they got in a car wreck? Yeah, April 3rd, I got in a car wreck in 99.
You're comparing your birth.
Come on,
comparing your conception to a car wreck. What are you doing, Crowder?
They were both accidents, weren't they?
I just sent Chris Chambers a birthday message on behalf of Channing Crowder. I just did that right now.
And CC knows.
I just sent it to him Twitter?
I texted it to him because he's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah,
but
I don't have his number.
I love Chris, great teammate, great friend. We coach together. CC is a awesome human being. I don't care it's his birthday, and I'm going to let him know that by not acknowledging his birthday.
By the way, this text just came in. It's incredible. 786-360-0790. This texter writes, birthdays weren't popular in the Crowder household. Would you want to celebrate pushing that big old head out?
That might be why my mom did. We doled birthdays. No, I'll be honest too. And my mom, when I was a kid, we did the McDonald's thing with them big ass cakes with the little sugar made hamburger on it.
Oh,
my mom
those.
Did a great job of birthdays. But when I came of age and when I matured as a human being, a man, a grown up, a father, I looked at it and said, birthdays are garbage.
At what year, like what age should you be when you stop caring about your birthday?
One.
What?
One.
when my kid turned 2 6 months ago, this was before COVID started, and he was at daycare, and you know, my wife and I showed up for like the little party they had for him at daycare. They brought a cake out to him. He was wearing a little like a Burger King crown for his birthday. The smile on that kid's face, my God, he was so happy that we were all singing to him, celebrating his birthday. And this is 2, not 1. I guarantee he'll be just as excited as 3. I'm going to let my kid enjoy his birthday as long as he wants to.
Well, brainwash him if you want to, Dono. I'm getting my kids ready for life.
Wow. All right. Well, I feel so bad for young Chaz, who's never gonna be able to enjoy a birthday.
I told Chaz this morning. I said, "Bro, you need to get a job. You sitting up here eating milk all day, sleeping all day. You need a job, Chaz."
He
turned 2 months yesterday.
There you go. Congratulations to Chaz. Happy 2 month. Happy 2 month birthday. In the 4 o'clock hour, 4:15, we're going to talk with Stefano Fusaro from ESPN, who was their lone reporter in the MLS bubble for 45 days. We'll talk about that experience with him. Coming up next, we'll have Solana's headlines and more here on Hawk and Crowder.
And another reason that I don't celebrate birthdays, Dono, is because places like Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, I'm eating good every day. Lobster, shrimp, lamb, beef, veal, pork, poultry, duck, turkey. The Crowder family goes to Delaware, so we don't have to do a birthday meal. The Crowder family eats a birthday meal every night because we go to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market in Hollywood. Family owned and operated since the 1950s, guys. They are amazing. I love it. I've been going there 16 years. Either me or my wife go to Delaware once a week to get our food. Like I said, lamb, beef, veal, pork, poultry, duck, turkey, lobster. They have shrimp. And right now, the Florida lobster season is starting, and they're going to have the freshest lobster. A little lobster still be pinching when you go in Delaware. The freshest Florida lobsters you can find. A royal red shrimp right now, only $10.99 a pound. The freshly pounded chicken cutlets. If you like chicken parmesan, get $9.99 freshly pounded chicken cutlets and make them up. They will love them. Catfish fillets, only $4.99 a pound. And the freshly ground sausages. Chicken, turkey, pork, whatever you like, whatever you eat, they have the freshly made Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market sausages made in-house daily. All the cheese and the feta and the spinach, it's just so delicious. Mild, medium, hot, they have the best sausages around. You got to check out those sausages. They have the best prices. They have the best selection. Call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. Tell them what you want. They have your order packed ready when you get there. You can call them when you get there and deliver it to your car. If you want to go in and shop, go in and shop. There's marks on the ground for social distancing. Wear your mask, but they want to make you happy. If you want to go shop, go shop. If you want to stay in the car and get it delivered, get it delivered. But Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market in Hollywood is here for you. DelawareChicken.com is the website. Monday through Saturday are open 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Get to Delaware if you haven't been there, because thousands of families take advantage of Delaware and they have the best food. Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market in Hollywood, 441, one block south of Sterling Road. And when y'all get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Whoopi Goldberg.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.